Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here in service with you and desire the Lord to bless the time we spend together this evening. I appreciated that song and my Savior talks with me. And I was thinking during prayer of a song that we used to sing as a group. It's been many years ago. And in the chorus it says, "When I need someone to talk to, anytime I need a friend, I will pray to you, my Jesus." And the opportunity that we have to commune with the Lord, to talk to Him, and have an audience with Him. So this evening, the little burden the Lord put on my heart, I think, would be for probably a good starting point for the meeting. We have an advocate with the Father. It's Jesus. And He is here to help us in any need that we have. Job made this comment when he was in his distress and trying to have communion with the Lord. He said, "Neither is there any dazed man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." He says, he's not a man as I am that we could come together in judgment. Neither is there a dazed man betwixt us. A dazed man, if I remember correctly in the translation, that word dazed man means like an umpire or a go-between, someone who would bridge the gap between God and man. Jesus was the one to have the hand of God, thank you, the hand of God and the hand of man to make the connection, because there was a gap, there was a void there. And man felt that gap, that void, and they needed something to bridge. And God, in His wisdom, in the fullness of time, sent Jesus so that we could have that communion. And we remember the scripture concerning Jesus, a prophecy concerning Him. It says, "His name shall be called Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. It would be easy to overlook the importance and the value of that prophecy and the fulfillment of it. God with us. The Statler brothers sang a song. I think the title of it was, "Who Do You Think?" Who do you think could believe such a thing, could believe that the story is true? Who do you think could believe such a thing? Well, here's hoping to heaven you do. And in one verse of that song, it's talked about Christ being born, and the line says, "They always knew men went to heaven, but now God had come to earth." What a beautiful thing that is, folks, to have God to condescend from through flesh, human flesh, to come down and be with us and talk to us and be our go-between. So, I'd like to spend a few minutes looking into scriptures. Maybe we can start in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we'll read verse 14. "And when the hour was come, He sat down the 12 apostles with Him. And He said to them, 'With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" With desire, He said, "with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you." I don't think that it's possible for us or the translators to put into the appropriate language the words that Jesus was really trying to say. He had a message. He knew who He was. He knew He was the Son of God. He knew that the only hope for humanity was for Him to be willing to go all the way through the burden, the call, the request that God had of Him to be that perfect sacrifice for us. So He understanding and knowing that was the purpose, and having full knowledge, we read in the book of John, the first chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus had complete understanding and knowledge of the will of God when he came here. He had complete understanding, knowledge of what God's purpose and plan was when he came. We read of the struggle that Jesus had in the garden when he was wrestling with the flesh for having to follow through and the fulfillment of that plan. It was a struggle for him. He's prayed three times, it says. He prayed and at the last one, he said, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he was willing to go through to the end and suffer and accomplish the purpose that he was sent to accomplish. In the book of John, I believe it's the 12th chapter. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, what do I say? I'm in this place. So what do I ask? How do I speak to you? Save me from this hour. But this is why I came. This is why I was sent. To accomplish your will and your plan. So if you will allow me a few minutes this evening, let's look into some of the scriptures and look at the plan of God being so meticulously fulfilled so that we could have a deeper faith and grasp on the knowledge of God for humanity and His desire to help us to have some things solidified in our minds. And it wasn't all just happen chance. It wasn't just a coinciding of events. It was a perfectly orchestrated and divined plan of God to present to humanity. So, if you would, let's turn to the book of Exodus. And I believe it's the 12th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Exodus chapter 12. Beginning with the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now what was about to happen, the children of Israel had been in the land of Egypt for 400 plus years, had been under bondage. They had experienced the whip of their taskmasters on their backs. They were, had, I guess you could call it, maybe enough time on their hands to converse with Moses, and Moses presenting to them the idea of being delivered from their bondage into a land of freedom, children of God. When the taskmasters heard those things, and I guess the murmuring spread through the servants, the slaves, the Israelite people, the Hebrews, that there's a deliverance to come. So the taskmasters began hearing this noise. Wait a minute. We're talking about deliverance and they've got too much time on their hands. They're idle time. So we're going to take away your straw, but you have to complete your same quota of brick every day. So go get your own straw and make the same amount of brick. Just increasing their task, increasing the burden, increasing their stress. Moses coming to them saying, God has a deliverance for you. Explaining to them, trying to help them to understand. Remember, it's 400 years removed since they had heard the promise about that God had given to Abraham and the fulfilling of that promise. 400 years. That 400 years is a long time. And it had been very likely the story, although preserved in some ways, the translation and the transferring it from generation to generation, probably some of that meaning had been lost and some of it was misunderstood. And I would say to you that if you were to go to that land of Egypt and find one of those Hebrew slaves gathering the straw and the mortar, the clay, to try to make that same quota of brick, so that they wouldn't have the whip laying heavy on their back. If you were to go to any one of them and say to them, please understand, this is the will of God for you. Moses, what are you talking about? These people are beating me. And you just come by and whisper in my ear, and every time you come by, my taskmaster sees, and he makes my burden heavier. And you're going to tell me this is the plan of God? Folks, there are things that God does that we can't understand and we can't see the end of. If we will stay, if we will do everything that we can to stay in our hearts, in our mind, in our being, in the center of God's will, He will accomplish the work that He has chosen for us. He will accomplish that thing. With these folks, with these Hebrews, He said to them, there's going to be a change. And I think it's the 6th chapter of this book of Genesis. Verse 3. The Lord speaking to Moses, He said, I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now that caused me to scratch my head a little bit when I read that scripture. I said, well, what was the significance of this name Jehovah? I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah I wasn't known to them. The Lord was about to accomplish a purpose. This word Jehovah in this passage, as I looked it up in the Hebrew and the text, it means the accomplishment of promises already made. The Lord was about to deliver this nation from their bondage and accomplish and fulfill the covenant He had made with Abraham 400 years earlier. To us, that would look like the hands of time move real slow. But folks, the Scripture says that one day is with 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day with God. We mark time. He's an eternity. It's hard for us to comprehend that. So, back to this 12th chapter of Exodus. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of his soul, of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep, from the goats, and keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire. Eat not of it raw. Let nothing of it remain till the morning. That which remaineth shall you burn with fire. You shall eat of it with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So you know the story. When they had the blood, they were put on the doorposts of the house. When the death angel came through the land, wherever the blood was applied, he would pass over that house. That night, a great cry went up from the land of Egypt. The firstborn in every house, every beast, the firstborn was slain. It died. The cry went up so loud throughout the land of Egypt that Pharaoh was saying, enough, get them out of here. And they left. But there are some other things in this little passage we just read that I'd like for us to go back over and look at. Things that the Lord put here for our understanding, for our learning. We sang a song, I believe, tonight that says, or we sing one in the hymn that says, and the light ever glows in the temple of God. In the Old Testament tabernacle and system of worship, there were types and shadows. Everything that God did in that old system of worship, if we would spend the time looking into it, points to a fulfillment in the Christian walk. Points to a fulfillment in Christ. It points to a fulfillment in salvation, full salvation. So it is with this Passover occasion. It points to something greater, deeper, harder to understand if you were an Israelite or Hebrew, harder to comprehend because you haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet. I'm only being introduced to some symbols and some signs. But remember, God was behind this entire picture. Painting a picture, little bit by bit, line by line, showing to the house of Israel, to the Hebrew nation, and to those who would come after what His plan was. So let's take a minute to look at it. First He said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." This month was the month Nisan. It correlates to our time frame about March or April. The original beginning of the year for the Hebrews was Tisri, which relates to sometime of our September, October. The reason the Hebrews referred to that as the beginning of the year is because when God created the world, everything that He created was mature. It was complete. He didn't create cattle, beasts of the field, birds of the air, and have them have to wait for food to mature, to ripen. He didn't create Adam and Eve and have them sit back and say, "When's the garden going to come off?" Everything that God did was done. He said, "Everything that I've given you is for your food." It was complete. It was mature. It was ready. So the Hebrews looked at that time as being when the harvest would come in, when the fruit of the vine was ready and ripe, when the corn was ripe, when the grains were ripe. They marked that and in their minds correlated that to the time of God's creation with everything being mature and ready to partake of. But the Lord said to them, this month, it's going to be the beginning for you. It's going to be the beginning of a new time. This shall be unto you the beginning of months. This is what I want you to mark, a change from Tisri being the first one to Nisan being the first one. I want you to mark this month as the first one. Why? Because there's about to be something take place that is beyond comprehension, folks. They're about to be delivered a new life. They're about to be delivered from their taskmasters. They're about to be experiencing the accomplishment of God's promise. Step back and see God work. This is what the Lord was about to do for them. This month, this very month, I want you to mark it. You might not understand it this day, but afterward you will. This month, today, mark it. And also He said, on the 10th day of the month, take a lamb. Set it aside. On the 14th day, you kill it. Now, we would look at that and read over it and say, well, there's not much significance there, but I tell you there is. Everything that God does is with a purpose. Everything He does, everything that the Lord accomplished for you and me in the Passover experience, the salvation experience, and now we remember what Jesus said, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you." Now let's remember for a moment who Jesus is, what His purpose is, what His design is, what He is attempting to accomplish for humanity. Knowing who He was, knowing He's the Son of God, sitting here with human beings. Folks, I'll not testify for you, but I'll only testify for me. Sit, if I were to be in that audience with Jesus on that day, I am thick enough to not be able to understand all that Jesus was trying to say. Jesus had some very deep lessons and messages that He wanted to convey to them, but they weren't able to comprehend it all. We read that, we can understand that as we read out how they responded after His death, after the resurrection. The things that they had said, remember how they were walking on the road to Emmaus, two walking side by side, and the Lord came and joined with them. And in their conversation, they were talking about the events that took place, and Jesus joined up with them, and they asked Him, "Well, haven't you heard about the things going on, and what things?" And they said, "Well, how Jesus was crucified." And they said something in that little exchange that I don't know if I could have done any different. But they said something, I wonder if it just struck to the heart of the Lord. They said, we had hoped. We had hoped that He was the Christ. That's what they said. They didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend it all. They weren't able to see everything that Jesus was trying to do for them. I want us to understand tonight, folks, we have a Lord and Savior that went all the way and accomplished God's plan for you and me. And we have some details in the Scripture to tell us how specifically God designed this thing and wanted it to be so we could have faith, deeper understanding and knowledge of God's plan for us. Again in Luke 22. 14, when the hour was come, He sat down, the 12 apostles with Him, and said to them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. A few days previous to this, Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a colt. You remember the occasion? People were hollering, Hosanna to the Son of God. Hosanna. Waving palm branches. Children were laying down their garments. People laying down their garments. The disciples said, tell them be quiet. The scribes and Pharisees, tell them to be quiet. They're making too much noise. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, if these would hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. I don't think that humans were capable of understanding what was taking place. Jesus, again, remember what Jesus said? With desire. With desire. Have I desired to eat this Passover with you? I have some things to share with you. I have something to impart to you. I have a message to convey to you, and I have a deep desire to spend this time with you, because Jesus knew He was the Passover Lamb. He knew that He was a sacrifice. We'll give that a moment. Jesus knew that He was the Passover Lamb. He knew what the purpose was. He knew the plan. And He desired to communicate that message to the disciples. There was no short or lack on Jesus' part of communicating the message. The lack was on the part of the recipients. Not able to comprehend it. But when Jesus came in to Jerusalem, He came in on the 10th of Nisan. The Passover lamb was to be chosen. What day was it? The 10th day. The Passover lamb was to be chosen on the 10th day. Three of the commentators that I have researched and I have studied all agree on the time that Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan to present Himself to you and to me, to humanity, fulfilling every possible detail. The old types and shadows, looking at the Scriptures in the Old Testament, it would be hard to probably put all that together. But looking back, folks, we have the benefit of the recorded Word of God to look back. The time frame, those who have much better understanding and comprehension than I have been able to go back the dates and find that Passover time for the Hebrews was on a full moon. And the Passover time for Jesus, when He was presenting Himself, was on a full moon. Today, when we reckon about how to set the day of Easter in our calendar, it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the first day of spring. That's when Easter occurs. The first Sunday after the first full moon, after the first day of spring. That's how Easter is calculated. There's a full moon involved in there somewhere. The Hebrews, the Israelites, they mark time by the moon, the cycle of the moon. And the Lord said to them, remember what the Lord said to them? This day, this month, shall be the beginning of months for you. No more is it going to be Tisri. I want it to be Nisan. Because this is the time I have chosen to march you out. With a strong hand will Pharaoh lead you out, let you out of the land of Egypt. Folks, with a strong hand, God has delivered us, given us opportunity to be delivered from our sins and the things that so easily beset us. Christ fulfilled completely the plan of God to the detail. Coming on the 10th of Nisan, presenting Himself to Jerusalem, to the nation, to Pilate, to the scribes and the Pharisees, to all of humanity, presenting Himself on that day, and was crucified 4 days later. Was put on that cross, was crucified, killed, the Paschal Lamb, the Passover, the blood on the doorpost. Thank God, folks, the blood over the doorpost of our hearts can be applied. And we are the death angel. Thank God when the death angel comes, He's coming for all of us. When the death angel comes and the blood has been applied, He'll pass over us. Thank God for the fulfillment. A new beginning, a new month. This will be the first for you. When you got saved, when the Lord blessed you in your soul, He came down and forgave you of your sins, it was a new life, a new beginning, a new birthday. I've heard people say, well, I was born on such and such, but I was born again on this day. Saved. Born again, as the Scripture says, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Scratch his head, how can a man be born a second time? Shall he enter into his mother's womb and be born again? Oh, Jesus knew the answer to that. He knew what this... That's the humanity part of it, folks. We're not able to comprehend all of those things. But God, in His love and His mercy, set out to accomplish everything for you and me. I want us to enter into this meeting with the understanding that God has so intricately designed and devised a plan of salvation for us that works. It works. It will accomplish the purpose God designed for it to accomplish. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for everyone before me that has lived for God and studied the Scriptures and taken the time to do the research and figure out in the calendars and look back, folks, learned men, scholars that have spent time, they've dedicated themselves to these things. Not because I don't think that they just wanted a mark for them somewhere, but because they were trying to understand some of the deeper things of God. The fulfillment of God. And you... We are the beneficiaries of their efforts, their labors, and God's fulfilling of His plan for us. Now remember, there in the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter, it says that that lamb was to be set apart 4 days. 4 days. And there's a direct parallel and correlation to that taking place with Jesus. Now in Hebrews, 4th chapter, second verse. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, what the writer is saying here, they had the message given to them. But because they weren't able to see the end, they weren't able to understand the depths and magnitude of it, it didn't really profit them. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Verse 13. Verse 12, I'll begin. Not seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. The obscurities, folks. Christ came to take away the obscurity. Christ came to shine light. Christ came to illuminate the heart, the mind, and the soul of an individual. Christ came to give you release. Those Hebrews were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. I was once a slave to sin. I had a taskmaster who was whipping me with that whip. Satan was doing that. Hard taskmaster. But there came a day when I found out that there was release. There came a day when I was able to understand in my feeble way that the Lord was there to save my soul. And yes, I had some struggles with it. And yes, I made some bad decisions and bad choices before I actually really got the experience of salvation. But the Lord was faithful. He was faithful. And what I found out is that when I sing that song that says, "You must be born again," I can relate to that. I can understand that. I can understand the depth of it, the magnitude of being born again. Because once I was lost, but now I've found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was in darkness, but now I've seen light. Because God gave me a new day. He gave you a new day. This evening, if you have experienced the blessing of God's salvation, thank God for it. If you have not, I would invite you to seek God's plan of salvation for your soul. If you're going through a struggle, if there's something plaguing you, if there's something you feel like you're dragging a weight behind you and you're not able to have victory in your life, I want to encourage you folks. Jesus came to set the captive free. We sing the song that says, "Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. He died to take away death's sting. His blood as a ransom He gave for me, then praise to Him." You ought to sing. Thank God for the death angel that passes over because the blood of Jesus has been applied. I appreciate your time this evening. I trust that maybe this will be some food for thought. Take it with you. Look into it. See how the Lord, God of all creation, made a plan. And it wasn't just happen chance. It wasn't just coincidence. It wasn't just coincidence that Jesus came, that happened to come riding into Jerusalem on that day. It was a fulfillment of God's plan. The 10th of Nisan. Thank God. I appreciate your time and attention. God bless each one. Amen.